All right, Travosai, good morning. Let's begin. I really wanna first of all again wish everyone a mazel tov on the siyum we made last night at the beautiful Malav HaMalka. As I point out to Malav HaMalka, we are a couple of siyumim behind Baruch Hashem. So last night we made on Erechin, and we'll begin in Yeretz Hashem to make our way through the Masechtos that we've. So it happens when you learn so much Torah, Baruch Hashem, so many siyumim to catch up on. What a wonderful problem to have. And I also just want to give an incredible yashar koach to all of our to our Bali Tula, to Gabi and to Moshi, who led the two slichas last night, which were just each of them mamish incredible and overwhelming and beautiful. The yashar koach is to Rabbi Huda for coordinating the Malav HaMalka last night, which was also truly beautiful. You know, I'll just begin. You know, the svarim bring down that on the days of slichas. So days of slichos offer us the opportunity to be metaking for that same day of the week for the entire year. So for example, this is the Sunday of slichos. So I can go ahead and be metaking. I could atone and rectify all of the Sundays of the past year if I maximize the Sunday of slichos. And this year we have a very special schos because we have an entire week of slichos. You have to remind yourself of that. It's a schos to have a week of slichos. Right, just speak to your Sephardic brethren, right? It's all right, right? They've had weeks. We only get 1 week. So I'll say, but understand what this means. So I'm bringing down that literally, it means every single day I have the ability to make amends for that day of the week of the past year. So maybe I messed up on a couple of Sundays throughout the year. Today is my opportunity to rectify Sunday. And the Meretz Hashem, tomorrow is my opportunity to rectify Monday. And it's an incredible opportunity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us just unending possibilities to right the ship, and unending possibilities to make amends, and unending possibilities to right the wrongs, and to do everything we need to do to get ourselves back on track and to get our life back on the rails. And literally, the ability to atone all of the days of the year, the particular day of the week, throughout the year, by ultimately maximizing one day, what you could do with one Sunday. Is there a football game today? Yeah. Okay. Shabbos, say, again, I would just suggest, you know, again, sometimes we waste a lot of time with football games. Nothing wrong with football games for like a couple of minutes here and there, right? But sometimes we spend hours of our lives in pursuits. I'm just using football as an example, right? Where you spend hours and hours of our lives on things that don't really yield any payros. Here's an opportunity this week, this today, to go ahead and change that paradigm just a little bit. Again, recreation is good, and enjoy it. I'm not telling anyone not to enjoy it. But just to be conscious of how we spend the day. Today's Sunday, and today's Sunday, you could rectify the Sundays of the entire year, the past year. Such a schos. Let's make sure to maximize, and I want a way to begin that process with today's daf. Today's daf is daf hey. We thank the families who dedicated this morning, Shir Yonason and Rachel Wolf of Highland Park, New Jersey, dedicated the entire month of Daf Yomi in loving memory of Rachel's mother, Chaya Bas Moshe. We have a weekly learning sponsor, Maya Hoffman, in Eretz Yisrael. Incredible, in memory of her father, Ronald Hoffman, Ruvain Ben Emmanuel, Zichrono Livracha, and of course, our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Elul, Bennett Goldberg, who has dedicated the shir, all the shir, and Josh's memory of his parents, Avram ben Asher Pinchas, Feger Ezel Bas Zelig, and in the hope that all of the suburban mishpacha have their tefillos answered over the Yamim Noraim. We thank all of our sponsors. Very, very touching. Very touching to see, Baruch Hashem, that our shir is sponsored from New Jersey, from Eretz Yisrael, from Baltimore. Such an incredible zechus mamish. This is the Koach of Torah. The Koach of Torah brings everyone together. Whether you're in Edison, or whether my Hatman lives, I believe, in Ashkelon, whether you're in Ashkelon, wherever you are, Torah is the great glue that brings Am Yisrael together. And I will say with that, let us begin. So today's daf is daf hey. We are going to pick up in Yeretz Hashem on Dalet Amud Beis at the two dots. Klal. The truth is, this is just one long quote from the Mishnah till we get to the bottom of the daf. So Klal, I'm Rabbi Yeshua. Kol Shahaisala Shas Hedra La Kohanim Ein Molimba. So what's it? The Mishnah espoused the principle. And the principle is, any time that you have something that became permitted to Kohanim, so i.e. once a sacrificial item becomes permitted for Kohanic consumption, Ein Molimba, it is no longer subject to Mi'ila, which makes sense. Because once ultimately again it's permitted to Kohanim, then what? Essentially what occurs? it becomes, quote-unquote, like chulin. Now, again, of course, it's not really chulin, right? It's not really chulin, because at the end of the day, I, a non-Kohen, can't partake of it. But since the Kohanim can eat it, it's chulin enough to be removed, ultimately, from the parsha of Mi'ilah. However, but any time that a karban does not have a shas heter for kohanim, so any time that a karban ultimately is not permitted for kohanic consumption, then ma'alin ba. So we'll say again, this is a very logical klal. If the kohanim can't eat it, then by definition, if the kohanim can't eat it, who does it belong to? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu / the Beis HaMikdash, then by definition it's subject to Mi'ilah. So the Mishnah gives an example. Ezohi Shahaisala Shas Heter LaKohanim. What's an example of a sacrificial item that was permitted to the Kohanim and therefore again no longer subject to Mi'ilah? So the Mishnah says Shalana. For example, if you have a karban ultimately again that was left over past its prescribed time, so it becomes Asra Alts Nosar. But again, remember, in order to become Noser, it has to have a permitted window of consumption. O shenitmes, right? Or for example, again, the carbon became Tameh. Visheyatzas, or a carbon that went out of its prescribed area. So we'll see, these are all examples of carbonos which had a permitted window of consumption, but then something subsequently occurred to render it unfit. But once it had that window of consumption, it is no longer subject to Me'ilah. What's an example of something that did not have a window of permitted consumption to Kohanim? So an example I will say would be that there was a psul in the shechita. The shechita itself wasn't good. When the carbon was shechted, ultimately it was shechted chutz lizmana. It was shechted with the intention to consume it outside of its prescribed time. B'chutz limkoma, or outside of its prescribed space, its prescribed area. V'shekiblu psulin v'zarku es namo. And let's say, for example, psulin. So Rashi and Mishnah explained what was the definition of psulin? Ba'ali mumin. Let's say you have a coin who was a ba'al mum, unfit for avoda, who did the Kabbalah and the Zrika. Now we're going to see if it's and the Zrika or the Zrika. We'll discuss that in the Gemara. But for now, ultimately, supposedly, see the example that the Gemara, that the Mishnah is bringing over here, is that if there was a psul in the Shechita, there was a psul in the Shechita, or ultimately, again, a psul in the Kabbalah or the Zrika, so that's an example of a karban that was never fit for Kohanic consumption. Because it was never fit for Kohanic consumption, therefore what? Therefore what? It is subject to Mi'ilah. So we'll say this is the klal. Once it becomes fit for Kohanic consumption, it is no longer subject to Mi'ilah. If it was never fit for Kohanic consumption, never becomes fit for Kohanic consumption, it is subject to Mi'ilah. Great. Amalei bar kafra. We'll say this is so incredible. Amalei bar kafra le bar pedas. Bar kafra said to bar pedas, Ben Achusi, son of my sister. So apparently Bar Pedas was Bar Kafra's nephew. Son of my sister. Re'e ma'ata sha'olani b'til machar b'beis ha-medrash. Here's what I want you to ask me tomorrow in the Beis Medrash. Right? So Bar Kafra is telling his nephew, when we get to Beis Medrash tomorrow, here's the topic I need you to bring up. Look at Rashi. Re'e ma'ata sha'olani sha'al lo ha'di kani b'mas nisin. So again, he's feeding him the question. Here's what I want you to go ahead and bring up in the Beis Medrash tomorrow. What I want you to bring up. Heter Shechita Shaninu. So we'll say, this is actually quite fascinating. So we'll say, see, here's the Shaila. When we speak about the idea that something has to have a Shas Heter Kohanim, something has to have a moment where it's permitted for the Kohanim, and therefore no longer subject to Me'ilah. So what does that mean? Is it, on one hand, do we say what we call Shas Heter Shechita Shaninu? Look at the last Rashi on the Daf. Heter Shechita Shaninu. Techevan Shenishchita Ketikna Belo Psul. Do we say that as long as the carbon was shechted properly, without any disqualification, haynu shas heter, va'af agav d'shuv nifsala yotzis midemila. So we'll say, so the Gemara is asking, Bar Kafra is telling Bar Pedas, his nephew, I need you to bring up a yisodistic shayla. When we speak about, we've established a principle, and the principle is that once the carbon becomes permitted, quote-unquote, to Kohanim, it is no longer subject to Me'ilah. So at what point does it become permitted? Do we say Heter Shechita? Heter Shechita means as long as the Shechita was done correctly, we call that permitted to Kohanim, and therefore what? No longer subject to Me'ilah. Top of Hay. Oh, Heter Zrika Shaninu. Or is it no? Heter Zrika, Heter Zrika means do you need Shechita and Kabbalah? And Kabbalah. So now, again, everything is there. to allow for a proper zrika. As long as you get the carbon to the point where a proper zrika could occur, whether the zrika occurs is almost irrelevant, but you get it to the point that it could occur, that's ultimately at the time, that's called heter kohanim, and no longer subject to me. Look at Tap Rashi, O heter zrika shaninu, diafa pisha shachat karaib, even if you shechted the animal by itself, that's not enough. Rather, ba'inu and tehavi kabbalah nami below psul. The Kabbalah itself must also occur without any disqualification. Once you received it in the right way, it is now permitted for Zrika. The Afagam Da'adayelo Nizrak Damo Havi Kiilu Nizrak Beheter The Chala Omi Lizarek Kizarek Dami The Chayvan in Eskaba Bekos Harai Venir Lizrika Shuvein Bomiila. So we're asking a fundamental question over here. We know the principle. The principle is once the carbon becomes permitted for Kohanic consumption, or we'll call it Mutar LaKohanim, it is no longer subject to Me'ilah. What we're trying to find out is at what stage of the sacrificial process is it called Hutar LaKohanim? Is it just enough if the Shechita is done correctly? And once the Shechita is done correctly, essentially that's quote-unquote Hutar LaKohanim and therefore no longer subject to Me'ilah? Or is it that, no, you need Shechita and Kabbalah? Boss, I just want to point out, Heter Zrika doesn't mean Zrika was done. Heter Zrika means you have the ability to do Zrika. The ability to do Zrika is predicated on two avodas, Shechita, Kabbalah, right? And once Kabbalah has been done, Rashi says over here that Roy Lezrika Kizarak Dami, once something becomes permitted for Zrika, it's as if the blood has already been sprinkled. That's not meaning you still have to do the actual zrika, but lamais again, do we say that's enough to remove the animal from me'ila? Oh, hetrachila. Rabbos, a third possibility is hetrachila. What's hetrachila? Look at Rashi. Oh, hetrachila. Shenu da'afak abdinishchat v'niskabel karoi li'olam lo yotze midi me'ila ad shenizrak hadam. The yesh poshas hetrachila. Or do we say no? Hetrachila, Rabbos, means what? That you need shechita, kabbalah, and zrika. That it is only once Zrika is done, right? So that's what Achila means. Achila means after Zrika, then I'll say the carbon mamish becomes permitted to go ahead and be consumed by the Kohanim. So I'll say this is the Shaila. This is the Shaila. So says Bar Kafra to his nephew Bar Pidas tomorrow in the Beis Medrash, and he just has to bring up the following Shaila. At what point in time specifically is a korban removed from the halachos of mi'ila? Is it at heter shechita, as long as the shechita was done correctly, no longer any mi'ila? Is it heter zrika, as long as shechita and kabbalah were done, that's enough? Or is it heter achila, which requires shechita, kabbalah, zrika?
Why don't they just say shechita or zrika? Why do they put it in a convoluted way? Why not just say, do you need shechita or do you need zrika? Why not just say it that way, as opposed to at the time and...
So they are saying heter shechita is shechita. Right, heter shechita, shechita. Heter zrika. It's not convoluted. It only sounds convoluted to us because it's not our first language. Heter zrika means, really, if you think about it, at the time that zrika becomes permitted. When does zrika become permitted? At the time of Kabbalah. You want to say, why doesn't it just say Kabbalah?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good shayla. Maybe they needed the daf to be a certain size. I don't know. No, I don't know. I hear it. So says the Gemara. So which one is it? So which one is this? We have a machlokis. Chizkia Amar Heter Shechita Shaninu. Dr. Buck, you have students who I'm sure write essays all the time, right? To fill out pages. Right? So Chizkia Amar Heter Shechita Shaninu. So we'll say Chizkia says that ultimately Heter Shechita. So Chizkia says all you need is Shechita to be done correctly. And once Shechita is kosher, then ultimately, again, it is removed from me. And I also understand the novelty in there. I just want to point out, the one thing you can't disagree on is, at what point in time can Kohanim actually eat the karban? Only after Zrika. So I just want to point out that they're not arguing on that. What they're arguing about is legabe me'ila. At what point in time does something fall into the category of heter achila, of heter kohanim? So it's possible that, again, once some major process is done, that major process could remove the carbon from me'ila. So Chizkiah will say, once the shechita is done correctly, ultimately, again, the animal is removed from me'ila. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Heter Achila Shaninu. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's Heter Achila. In other words, once it's permitted for actual consumption, which is when? After Zrika, then it's removed from Me'ila. Am Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi says, fundamental machlokes. So interestingly enough, it appears that you don't find an opinion who subscribes to the second approach. Because remember again, Bar Kafer brought up that there are three possibilities. Heter Shechita, Heter Zrika, or Heter Achila. The machlokes Chizki and Rabbi Yochanan, Chizki is saying Heter Shechita, and Rabbi Yochanan saying Heter Achila. No one seems to be holding ultimately again of Heter Zrika. Interesting. Says the Gemara, Am Rabbi Zeira, Lo Daika Masnisin. So Rabbi Zeira says, here's our problem. Our Mishnah does not seem to align the lo kechizkia or the lo krabi ochanan. Our Mishnah doesn't seem to support either of these two views. How so? So Tanan, Rabbi Zeira, listen to this. Because what did our Mishnah say? Shalana vishenitmes. So Rabbi Zeira, when the Mishnah gives examples of a karban that had a heter for kohanim and subsequently became disqualified, what are the examples the Mishnah gives? Shalana, a carbon that was left over past its prescribed time, what we would call nosar, shenitma, it became tame, vishayatasa, or ultimately, again, it was taken out of the prescribed area. So the Gemara says, what's the case? Let's analyze for a moment the case of lun, right? The case of where it was left over. What was left over? Lav delan dam. Are we not talking about a case where the blood was just never sprinkled, and the blood itself was left over past its prescribed time? Look at Rashi, right across in Rashi. Ma'ilav delandam, shenis kabal b'kos karoi. The blood, there was proper shechita, proper kabbalah, but the blood was left over. Va'achakach lon kodem zrika. And yet, what do we see from here, Rabosai? See, even though the blood was left over in a cup, v'katoni ein mo'alin bo. And yet the Mishnah said that what? The Mishnah said that halacha l'maisa, it is not subject to Mi'ila. Then I was saying, what does that sound like? Why isn't that carbon subject to Mi'ila? It must be because the Mishnah is holding that what? In order to take away from Mi'ila, what do you need? You need Shechita and Kabbalah, Heter Zrika. And as long as you had Shechita and Kabbalah, once it's in the cup, like Rashi said before, Kalazara, Kalaroy, Lezrika, Kizarok, Dami, and that's enough. So the Mishnah seems to indicate that all you need is Shechita and Kabbalah. Once you have Shechita and Kabbalah, ultimately, again, that's called Heter Kohanim, and the carbon is no longer subject to Mi'ila. We'll say there's only one problem. That's neither like Chizkiah nor like Rabbi Yochanan. Ushmamina Heter Zrika Shaninu. To which the Gemara says, Lo. Delan Basar. No, that's not the case. The case of Lima, the case of leftover sacrificial item, is not where the blood was left in the cup. The blood was sprinkled. So we'll say, what was left over? The Basar. Aval Dam is Darik. But ultimately, again, the blood, in fact, itself was sprinkled. Mishum Hachi Katani Ein Mo'alin Bo. Therefore, the Mishnah says, the carbon is no longer subject to Mi'ila. So therefore, Rabbi say again, and if anything, right, in fact, based on what we just said, the Mishnah seems to support Rabbi Yochanan, because what are we talking about over here? We're talking about a carbon that had Shechita, Kabbalah, and Zrika. Okay, it subsequently becomes disqualified because of Noser, because of Lina, seemingly supporting the position of Rabbi Yochanan that Heter Achila is ultimately what removes the animal or removes the carbon from Me'ila. So Tinan, Ve'ezo Hishalo Haisala Shasa Kosher. Ultimately, again, Bosse, I just want to point out something very interesting. We're going to see over here that there's a fundamental machlokes how to read this Gemara. Machlokes between Rashi and Tosis. So actually, as I was looking at this last night, and we're going to see two different wordings. We're going to go with Tosis as reading of this Gemara. For one simple reason. I looked in Art Scroll because I was curious to see, like, who's right? I figure Artscroll's going to know who's right. So Artscroll quotes Tosis. See, I don't know why. I don't know why, and I'm not. I am. The truth is, you'll see. Rashi actually seems much clearer in this sugya, but I guess I trust Artscroll's machria more than myself. So we're going to go with Tosis' reading of this Gemara. So therefore, you're going to see a number of dramatic changes occur in the gear. So we'll go through it together. So here we go. Tinan. So remember again, I'll say next case. So ultimately again, so what is the example of a karban? Right? They never had a shasa kosher, was never permitted to kohanim, and therefore again, still remains subject to Me'ila. Shenishcheta chutz lizmana v'choslim koma v'shekiblu psulin v'zarku astama. So we'll say, so the Mishnah says, again, essentially the carbon was shechted with the intention to consume it outside of its permitted time or to go ahead and consume it outside of its permitted place, which was essentially renders it what? Renders it pigul, right? Or shekiblu psulin, or a balmum, did Kabbalah, v'zarku astama, and did zrika. So we'll say, so these are all examples where the shechita, the Kabbalah, the Zrika, ultimately, again, are all possible. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, the carbon itself was never sacrificially fit. Therefore, again, remains subject to mi'ilah. So the Gemara says, hey, chidami, what's the case? Now, go say the Gemara is specifically focusing on the last part over here, which reads, shekiblu psulin v'zarku estama. So I'll say, so the pashat reading of this case is what? A koinus pasal balmum, did Kabbalah, and Zrika. That's what it sounds like. The puzzle did the coiner's puzzle did both. Say Hidami, what's the case? Ilema dizarku psulin the kiblu psulin. So we'll say that Gaussian just changes the order over here. If you look in that little letter, well, you don't have to look at it, I'll read it to you. It's a little letter dalit on the right hand corner. Ilema de kiblu psulin vizarku psulin. If you want to tell me that ultimately again a coin who is puzzle did the Kabbalah and did the Zrika. Let's say a balmum did the Kabbalah, did the Zrika. Lamali adi ikatarti. I don't understand. Why do I need a balmum doing the Kabbalah and the Zrika? I say, why? Why? The truth is, all you need is one. Right? As long as the balmum is doing one of those things, the carbon is disqualified. Ella, so what must be the case? The Kablua psulin. Right? It must be the case was where what? Where ultimately, again, someone who was puzzle did the Kabbalah. O zarkuhu, right? O zarkuhu. So again, Tosas changes this over here is to O zarkuhu psulin. So rather, what must be the case? The case is or, right? Either you had psulim who did Kabbalah or Zrika, vikatoni moalimbo. And yet, what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah teaches me that ultimately, again, this carbon is still subject to Mi'ila. Shmamina, what do you see from here? So again, Tosas changes this to Heter Achila Shaninu. And we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that Halacha Lemaisa, it is Heter Achila. That ultimately, again, in order for a carbon to no longer be subject to Mi'ila, it has to reach the threshold of Heter Achila. What's the threshold of Heter Achila? What do you need for Heter Achila? Shechita, Kabbalah, Zrika, right? And therefore, again, if you don't reach that threshold, if you don't get to the Zrika finish line, then what? Then halacha lemaisa, the carbon remains subject to Mi'ila. To which the Gemara says, Maskil for Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, Isagadaitra, Ika liflugi hachi. If that's true, then halacha lemaisa, you need heter achila. Then in order for the carbon to no longer be subject to Mi'ilah, ultimately you need Shechita, Kabbalah, Zrika. So why don't you distinguish the following? Ikalif Lugiachi, Hadisnan Hasam, Chatos Psobo says, listen to this interesting case. So if that's the case that you need Heter Achila, what about the following situation? Chatos Psobo says, you have a Chatos that is Pasol. Rashi says, so however it becomes Pasol is irrelevant over here. So what's the halacha? Ein Dama Ta'un Kibo. So we'll say, there's an interesting halacha. Normally, if chatos blood gets on a garment, that garment requires kibus, requires laundering. In other words, you can't walk out of the Beis HaMikdash with that chatos blood absorbed into your clothing. It requires kibus. So now the Mishnah says over here, Mishnah says, chatos psula, what happens if you have the blood of a chatos that is pasul? Ein damatam kibus, its blood does not require laundering. Bein shahaisala shasa kosher v'nifsala. Whether ultimately this is a chatas that was kosher and then became pasul, or whether it was never kosher. As long as at the time that the blood spurted on your clothing, the chatas was pasul. Again, whether it was kosher, became pasul, whether it was never kosher, altogether, halacha lemaisa, again, if the blood of a chatas psula spurts on your clothing, it doesn't require kibos. Ezohi shahisala shasa kosher benifsala. What's an example of a chatos that was kosher and then became pasul? Shalana vishenitmes oshiyatza. So we'll say, so a case of a chatas that was kasher, very simple. It's a chatas that was kasher, but was left over past its prescribed time, or it became tamei, or ultimately, again, it was taken out of its prescribed area. Ve'ezo hishalo haisala shasa kosher was an example of a chatas that never had a permitted window. Shenishchata chutz limkoma, chutz lizmana. So we'll say an example would be a chatas that had a psul and a shchita, right? It was shechted with the intention to eat it outside of its prescribed time, outside of its prescribed place, or shekiblu psulin vizargo es dama. Ooh. Or a case where what? A kohen who was pasul did Kabbalah and then did Zrika. Sehechidami. So again, I will say, remember, we're picking up on this wording because the wording sounds like that the pasul kohen is doing what? Is doing what? Both Kabbalah and Zrika. So let's analyze this. Sehechidami. So we'll say, so that would be the case. That would be a case ultimately of a chatos that never had a shas kosher. Where ultimately, either there was a psul meshchita, or even if the shechita was okay, but she had a coin balmum doing kabbalah and zrika. So heichidami ilema de kablua psulin bizarku psulin. If you want to say that it's a case where the coin who was pasul did both the kabbalah as well as the zrika, who dein don tamon kibos. So we'll say that would be the case where the blood doesn't require any type of laundering because the coin pasul did both the kabbalah and the zrika. I could infer from that what ha. Ha kablu ozarku ksherim daun taun kibos. Say what that sounds like over here is that what? Is that if halacha lemaisa, you had a kasher, let's say both of those things, both kabbalah and zrika weren't done by psulin, but one of them was done by ksherim, then what? Then the blood would require laundering. So we'll say that, meaning that that's a logical assumption. If you're going to tell me that the case of the chatos that doesn't, the case of the blood of the chatos that doesn't require kibos is a case where what? The Kabbalah and the Zrika was done by Psulin. I can infer from that that what? That if either the Kabbalah or the Zrika were done by who? By Ksherim, then what? The garment would require kibos. To which the Gemara says, well, that doesn't make sense. I'll tell you why. Karikan asher yozat midama velo shekvar huza. But say, look at Rashi over here. An interesting halacha. Kari khan asher yaza midama velo shekvar huza. Rashi says, kilomar asher yaza midama. So listen to this. The pasuk says, the pasuk that the Gemara is quoting over here is, kol asher yiga bivsara yikdash v'asher yiza midama ala beged asher yiza le techabes b'makom kodesh. So as I said, the Torah says explicitly that if the blood of the chatos gets onto a garment, so that garment ultimately again has to be laundered. Asher yiza midama. So Rashi says over here, kilomar asher yaza, asher yiza, excuse me, asher yiza midama omid lahazos. So I will say, interestingly enough, when does the garment requires, when does the garment require laundering? When what type of blood was sprinkled on it? The blood ha omid lahazos. It is only blood that is ready to be used for zriga, which means da'adain lo nasis mitzvaso. So Rabbi said, it is only if chatas blood was sprinkled on the garment and what? Hazah, or I should say zrika, was not yet done. That's when the garment requires laundering. However, right, kishenitas mimenu ala beged kodem zrika, obishas zrika, taun kibos, velo shekvar huza. Rabbi said, if zrika was already done and then blood of the chatas got on the garment, then what? The garment does not require kibos. To la'achar hazah, ein hamosar ta'un kibos. Because I will say, after sprinkling, after zrika was done, the leftover blood that gets on the garment does not require any type of laundering. To me'achar shenizrak bo, I'm sorry, to me'achar shenizrak bo, zarko kasher, bein zarko pasal, ein o ta'un kibos. Because I will say, after zrika was done, at the end of the day, halacha l'maaseh, the garment does not require kibos. One more time. To me'achar shenizrak bo, Zarko kasher, bein zarko pasul, ein taun kibos. So we'll say, once the zrika was done, then halacha lemaisa, the garment no longer needs any type of kibos. To which the Gemara says, we'll say, so if you're telling me that halacha lemaisa, if ultimately, again, if the zrika was done by a kasher, so let's analyze this. So if the zrika was in fact done by a kohen who was kasher, and then subsequently chatos blood gets on a garment, that is not going to require kibos altogether. To which the Gemara says, Ela lav dafka. So rather, we'll say, what do you have to say? You have to say that the Mishnah over here is imprecise. It's not precise. The wording is not precise. Look at Rashi. Lav dafka. Da filu kiblu ksherin v'zarku ksherin. Ein dama ta'un kibus. Achar ziga. Because we'll say, halacha lamaisa. Halacha lamaisa. If indeed, Kabbalah and Zrika were done by ksherin, and then afterwards, chatas, blood gets on the garment, ultimately, again, it will not require any kind of kibos. Afagav dehavi chatas kshera horilu kvar huza ava kodem zrika. Rabbi say blood of the chatas gets on the garment before zrika. Taun kibos kedin chatas kshera de taun kibos being kabbalah zrika. Rabbi says, so what you have to say over here is that the lashon of this mishnah is imprecise. Amud beis hachinami us. Now we have a problem. Hachinami lav dafka. So Rabbi say, what you'll have to say over here is that the lashon of our Mishnah by Mi'ila will also be imprecise. Look at Rashi, Hachanami, Legabi Mi'ila, Diktani Shekiblu Psulim. There Rabbi say, our Mishnah, which also uses the lashon of what? That apostle, ultimately against someone who was unfit, a Balmum, did Kabbalah, is also imprecise. Look at Rashi, Lav Dafka, Hachi Dineima, Ha Kiblu Ksherin Vizarko Psulim. Ain moalimbo. So we'll say, therefore, again, that it's also imprecise. You can't make the inference that if Ksherim did the Kabbalah and Psulin did the Zrika, that ultimately, again, it would not be subject to Me'ila. Da filu kiblu Ksherim bizarko Psulin moalin. The hetra achilo shaninon the ba'inon gabi Zrika v'leka. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. So we wanted to make an inference. We wanted to make an inference from the Mishnah that what? That aloha lamaisa, even if you had a case. Even if you had a case of kiblu ksherim and zarku psulin, that ultimately, again, it should not be subject to me'ila. Why? Because maybe the Mishnah is teaching us that what Rabbi say? Heter zrika. That as long as halacha lemaisa, again, you had shchita and you had kabbalah done kedasu kedin, you're good to go. To which the Gemara says, no, don't infer anything from the Mishnah. In fact, Rabbi said the halach is as we espoused before, that at what point in time is a carbon no longer subject to me'ilah? Only when? Hetrachila. Hetrachila is when Rabbi said, when's hetrachila? Shchita, Kabbalah, Zrika. Only once you've gone through all three of those processes and the carbon is now actually fit for consumption, is it no longer subject to me'ilah. But if any of those processes have not been properly done, the carbon will remain subject to Mila. Imkein lama lemisni tarti. So we'll say, if that's the case, halacha lemaisa, why are we listing two imprecise mishnayos? To which the Gemara says, ela li olam de mi'ila dafka. The truth is, rather, we have to say that when it comes to Mila, the Mishnah actually is specific and correct. The hakam ashlan, we'll say, so what is it coming to teach us? It's actually very interesting. V'hakam ashmalan, the psul oseh shirayim. Rabbi says, so in fact, what we're coming to learn from the Mishnah, Rabbi says, it's a separate halacha. We'll come back to the machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan, and Chizkiyah in just a little bit. But in fact, there's another lesson to be learned over here, which is that a psul, a kohen who is pasul, makes shirayim. So Rabbi says, what is shirayim? Look, this is actually incredible. Look at Rashi. So let's read it. The psul so shirayim. Afagav the kibel psul v'zarak the kibel kasher v'zarak lav klumi. Rabbi say, listen to this incredible case. This is really amazing. Listen to this incredible case. Let's get the following situation. Really incredible. You shechted the carbon. What happens? You have a coin who's a psul, who's a pasul. You can't really use the word pasul by any Jew. Right? He has a mum. He's a baal mum. No one's Jew is a pasul. Right? I'm sorry? Unqualified. Especially by Kohanim, you said? Calm down. Right? So now listen to this. So you have a coin who's disqualified. He's a baal mum. So I say, now watch this. This is incredible. So you do the shechita. Let's say again the shechita was done kasher. You have a baal mum who now comes along and does what? The kibel pasul, the zarak. So we'll say you have a kohen who's a baal mum, who does Kabbalah, and then does Zrika. So obviously what? No good. But watch this case. The animal is still spurting lifeblood. So what happens? A kosher comes along, a kohen kosher comes along, and does Kabbalah, and Zrika afterwards. So what's a fascinating case, no? So what's the halacha over here? The Gemara is positing that halacha l'maisa, the carbon will be pasul. Why? Because the avoda of the first kohen Baal Mum renders the rest of the blood to what's called shirayim. Shirayim are leftovers. We'll say leftovers are pasul. Leftovers are pasul. We're going to see it. We all know this, right? For us, usually it's like by Tuesday, shirayim are pasul. Leftovers are pasul. And we'll say, but in the Beis HaMikdash, again, what, essentially what shirayim says is like this. Once someone who is unfit inserts himself into the sacrificial order, we're done. We're done. He ran, even though, again, Abbas, now the chiddush over here is, even though there's still lifeblood spurting out of this animal, so there's still enough blood to be able to do a proper Kabbalah, proper Zvika. Once someone who is unfit inserted himself into the process, essentially it renders, now Abbas, by the way, what shirayim? By dam, we have a concept of shirayim. Remember, we spoke about this. By dam, for Zvika, which blood do you have to use? Again, which blood do you have to use? Lifeblood, right? Lifeblood. What's the leftover blood called? Who remembers? There's a special word for this. Damatamsis, right? Damatamsis, excellent. Tamsis blood, right? Damatamsis. So ultimately, again, so essentially, once someone whose pasul involves himself in the sacrificial order, pretty much the rest of the blood becomes known as damatamsis, leftover blood, and therefore, even though he quickly gathers up lifeblood, sprinkles it on, it's not going to be good. So avagav the kibal pasul v'zarak, the kibal kasher v'zarak, lav klumhi. Why? Look at Rashi. I'm sorry, before I get to Rashi, my time, what's the reason? The shirayim ninu. Because ultimately, again, the blood is reckoned like shirayim. Look at Rashi. Lav klumhu, eladino kishiyare hadam, shemhuza midama ala beged, bein zrika de kasher lezrika de pasul, eno talan kibos. Inami shows adam dino lishapech la'amo, kedin shirayim diyamina. So therefore, again, in both of these cases, halacha l'maisa, if you're talking in the realm of mi'ilah, in the realm of Mi'ilah, ultimately, again, once the Pasul Kohen does Kabbalah, does Zrika, the carbon is unfit, and therefore what? Remains subject to Mi'ilah. Right? Remains subject to Mi'ilah. In the case of the blood of the Chatos, so once you have a Pasul who does Kabbalah and Zrika, even if subsequently blood, right, blood of the Chatos ultimately goes ahead and gets sprinkled on, ultimately, again, Ein Tu'unan Kibos. It will not require any kind of laundering. And for regular sacrificial order, the rest of the blood ultimately would be poured down the drain of the Mizbeach. I v'ha b'amineh reshagish me Rabbi Yochanan. But yet reshagish asked Rabbi Yochanan, Apostle, ma'u she'i ase shirai. Reshagish asked this kasha from Rabbi Yochanan. Apostle, right? A kohen whose apostle involves himself ultimately again in the avodah. Does he make the remainder of the blood into shirayim? So what happens? V'amaleh, Eilach Davish is actually very interesting. And Reish Lakish responded, he said no. He said, Eilach, well not no, but let's qualify this. Eilach Shei Asi Shirayim. I will say the only thing that makes blood into Shirayim is the following thing. Shirayim, I will say, can remember, means leftover blood that would be unfit for further use. Eilach Davish Shei Asi Shirayim. Ela Chutz Lizmano V'chutz Limkomo. So what Reish Lakish posits, that the only thing that Halacha L'maisa makes blood into Shirayim is a pigal intention. Is an intention ultimately again for chutz lizmano and chutz limkomo. Hoyel umiratzim lepigulo. Ultimately again, since these machshavas render the carbon ultimately again pigal, therefore they have the ability to render the subsequent blood shirayim as well. My lav bar mi posel. So if I say ultimately again, does this not come to exclude the zrika of apostle, right? That if apostle does a zrika, the rest of the blood is not shirayim. Lo, afil apostle. Rather, no, it comes to include even apostle. The rabbis say, if halacha l'maisa, if a kohen apostle does kabbalah, does zrika, that ultimately renders the rest of the blood shirayim. I beha im lacha katani. But that's not what Reish Lakish said. Reish Lakish said there is nothing that renders the rest of the blood apostle except for a machshav of chutz lizmano chutz limkomo. Hachikar, this is what it means to say. Ein lacha davar she'eno meratze b'tzibur ve'ose shirayim. So Rabbi says, it's actually very interesting. What he means to say is like this. There is nothing else, ultimately, again, that on one hand allows the carbon to be partially valid in the context of a carbon sibur, and yet makes it shirayim, with the exception of a machshava for chutz lizmano or chutz limkamo. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Hachi kamer im lecha shein moratzav tzibur shem moratzav tzibur kigon pigo venoser viyotzi shaose shirayim lifsal el chutz lizmano or chutz limkamo. Da af agav the chutz limkamo im moratzav tzibur ose shirayim hol moratzav pikul. So we'll say if you have a machshava of chutz lizmano chutz limkamo, it's actually very interesting. We've seen this concept before. When you have a machshava, we'll say, what happens when you have that machshava to consume the carbon outside of the prescribed, outside of the prescribed area? So what happens? What happens? It becomes pigul. What happens if it becomes pigul? It becomes totally disqualified. But interestingly enough, even though it becomes totally disqualified, there is some type, it's actually interesting, there is some type of like chalos shame carbon on your avoda. Why? Because the qualification of pigul is a carbonic qualification. So even though you've disqualified the carbon, ultimately what? You've made it into a carbon. I don't know if that makes sense. But in order for something to become pigul, I should say differently, the only thing that becomes pigul is what? Is a carbon. It is a carbon. It's halach l'maisa. When you have a machshavas pigul, as much as you've disqualified the carbon, you've also endowed it with carbonic status. Because the only thing that can become pigul is something that has the status of a carbon. So therefore again, only a machshavas pigul, which renders it a carbon and subsequently disqualified, has the ability to make the rest of the blood shirayim. However, because aval tame, but I will say ultimately again, situation of tuma, the isa bitzibur mashve shirayim. So I will say, if you have a situation halacha lemaisa of a tame, Rashi says aval tame hainu pasul. So let's listen to this. But if you have a Kohen Tame, Rabbo says another example of a psul. Remember again, Rashi said that the case of a Kohen Pasul is what? A Kohen Balmum. But the truth is, a case of a Kohen who's Tame is also a case of a Kohen who's Pasul. So Rabbo says, listen to this. If you have a case of a Kohen who is Tame, ultimately again, who does Zvika and Kabbalah, ultimately, again, he will also go ahead and make shrine. Now, as we're both saying, what the Gemara is saying is like this. When does your avoda make all of the rest of the blood shirayim? When there was some level of authenticity or effectiveness to your avoda. If your avoda was totally ineffective, then what? You do not render the rest of the blood shirayim. Makes sense. Why not? Because you haven't done anything. You haven't done anything. So halach l'maaseh, if you haven't done anything, then you can't call the rest of the blood shirayim. If you've done something that is quasi-effective, then what? You make the rest of the blood shirayim. So for example, Rabbi Osai, if the Kohen has a machshavas pigul, he has in mind to go ahead and offer it up out of the prescribed time, or eat out of the prescribed time, or outside of the prescribed place, so he makes a pigul. Rabbi Osai, pigul is a chalos shame on a karban. Because he's done something quasi-karbanically effective, therefore what? The rest of the blood is unfit to become shirayim. Where else do you see this? Tame. This is incredible. If a Kohen who's tame does Kabbalah and Zrika, so we'll say, what's the halacha? He renders the rest of the blood shirayim. Why? His tame is unfit. There is a case, we'll say, of where a Kohen who is tame could do the avoda. Where is that? By a carbon sibur. So we'll say, we know the halacha is that tumo hutra bet sibur, that if 51% of Klal Yisrael is tame, ultimately, again, you could have a Kohen who is tame offer communal offerings. It doesn't work for individual offerings, but communal offerings it'll work for. Therefore, again, if a Kohen who is tame does Kabbalah and Zriga, even though he's unfit in this particular context, he's in the Parsha of Karbanos. Because in the Parsha of Karbanos, therefore what? His act has a quasi-effectiveness, and because it has a quasi-effectiveness, therefore what? What does it make the rest of the blood? Shirayim. Now we'll say, sharp psulim, the lo istan b'tzibor, lo mashin shirayim. So we'll say, but other psulim who don't work b'tzibor would not make the rest of the blood shirayim. So we'll say, so I'll tell you, for example, where did this come up? I'll give you an example of this. What happens if a non-Kohen, I want nothing more in this world than to be a Kohen. Mamish, it's really, like, if you're looking to get me something, if you could somehow get me kahuna, it would be incredible. I would give anything for it. Shabbos say, if someone like me, a regular Yisrael, were to come into the Beis HaMikdash and to do Kabbalah and Zrika, Shabbos say, what would be the halacha? What's the status of my avoda? What's the status of my avoda? Pasul. Do I make the rest of the blood shirayim? No. At least according to this, come over there. Isn't this incredible? I don't make the blood of Shirayim, right? Because they're both saying the rest of the blood only becomes Shirayim when, although the service that was done was invalid, but it's within the framework of carbonic service. There's something, there's some level of what we'll call carbonic authenticity. So the Kohen has a machshavas pigul, but pigul is a carbonic designation. The Kohen is tamei, but a tamei Kohen could do avoda under certain circumstances. So where there is a level of carbonic authenticity that renders the rest of the blood shirayim, which are subsequently unfit. Rav said, listen, how amazing this is. Ami Yisrael, if I go in and I do Kabbalah in Zrika, is there any carbonic authenticity to what I did? Zero. Zero. Therefore what? As long as, therefore the rest of the blood is not shirayim, which means what? No shirayim. And therefore what? And therefore, if another coin were to go ahead and swoop in, and there was still lifeblood spurting out, if he were to be able to get some, we were able to do Kabbalah and Zrika, he could salvage the carbon. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? Good, thank you. Thank you. Okay, good. So let's go a little bit weiter. Tashma. Let's just do a few more lines, then we'll stop for today. So Tashma. Hapigol li olam amolin bo. So I'll say ultimately again, Pigol is always subject to Mi'ila. Rashi says, Hapigol shechishev b'shchita. So the case over here is at shchita, at a machshavas pigol. And yet, what does the Mishnah, the Braisa says? It is always subject to Mi'ila. Lav delo zarak. So we're not talking about a case where Zrika was never done. Ushma mina. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? So it must be a case of where Shechita was done with the Machshavas Pigul, Zrika was never done. Why is it always subject to Mi'ila? Because we'll say, going back to our Machlokis before, because apparently in order to leave Mi'ila, what do you have to come to? Heter Zrika. Right? You have to, we'll say, what does Heter Zrika mean? There has to be Kabbalah. Right? Kabbalah ultimately, again, must have been done. So it must be, again, you require Heter Zrika. Because it's never passed the threshold of Zrika, therefore what? It still remains subject to Mi'ila. To which the Gemara says, "Lo, the zarak, right? I'm sorry, love the lo zarak. Ushmami na hetu zrika sheni lo zrika zarka." So I say, no. The case over here is where zrika was done as well. Umay li olam. I both say, what does it mean when we say that pigol is subject to meila forever? Ha kamash milan kidrab gidol, dam rab gidol amarav zrikas pigol eino motzi mi de meila. Rather, again, it's just coming to go ahead and exclude the position of Rav Gidl, because Rav Gidl said in general that Rav Osei, a Zrika of Pigul does not remove Kodshim, Kodshe Kadoshim from Mi'ila, nor does it bring Kodshim Kalim to the state of Mi'ila. Therefore, again, Rav Osei, this Braisa provides no proof either way. So Rav Osei, what we end off with this daf over here is the fundamental machlokes. Fundamental machlokes. Ultimately, you know, we'll say, here's what we know. We know the klal. Let's just go ahead, quick chazara before we end. What's the klal? The klal is, kol shahaisa lo, is the lashon of the Mishnah is, kol shahaisa lo shas heter le kohanim. As long as the carbon has a shas heter for kohanim, then what? Then what? It is not subject to mi'ila. If it does not have heter le kohanim, then what? It is subject to mi'ila. The machlokes is, what is considered Shas Heter L'Kohanim? That is a fundamental machlokes. And on both sides, it appears that we have three possibilities. Possibility number one, Heter Shechita. All you need is for Shechita to be good. Once Shechita is good, you've left the Parsha of Mi'ila. Possibility number two, Heter Zrika. We're both saying, so again, what does Heter Zrika mean? Shechita, Kabbalah, i.e. it's ready for Zrika. Zrika hasn't been done. As long as you had Shechita and Kabbalah, you're good to go. Possibility number three is what we call Heter Achila. Heter Achila means Shechita, Kabbalah, Zrika. It's mamish ready for carbonic consumption. The machlokas we saw between Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan was in the extremes. Chizkiah says Heter Shechita. Once an animal is shechted properly, that's called Heter L'Kohanim, and therefore again, Shas Heter L'Kohanim, and therefore again, it is no longer subject to Me'ila. Rabbi Yochanan says Heter Achila. In order for it no longer to be subject to Me'ila, you need proper Shechita, Kabbalah and Zrika. Who do we paskin like? And Meretz Hashem, we will resolve tomorrow. Just a reminder, we are now in Slichos schedule, which means the daf in Meretz Hashem begins at 5:45 tomorrow morning. And the Meretz Hashem, I'm going to record Mesilas Hashem through the end of the parak. 5:45 with Slichos, I believe, at 6:20 in Meretz Hashem tomorrow. Shkar Chavosai.
you're talking about the commentary of Rashi.
Yeah, then it's not necessarily Rashi. Yeah. Very interesting as well. Right. True.
So what is it?